Then open to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Okay. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Good morning, everyone. Need to get a little coffee holder on this thing, don't we? Well, let's pray as we come to the end of our Showing Up series. Father God, we want to thank you for the great blessing of church. It is a wonderful thing that through the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus, you have redeemed us as your people. You've brought us together to be a family, and you gather us together. And even now, we are gathered around that heavenly throne with all the believers through all of time, that universal church. And yet, on earth, that's expressed through this little gathering right here in Kingston, in this little scout hall. And we reflect something of that amazing heavenly gathering. Lord, that's just a mind-blowing fact. It's mind-blowing to think that as we gather here, because of the gospel, the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are having their minds blown. They're looking down and they're praising you and they're glorifying you and they're marvelling at your wisdom that you could redeem a sinful people through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we know that as we gather, we can encourage one another, we can build each other up, we can be a real testimony to the power of the gospel to other people as they see this community. And we know that us meeting together makes us strong as a church. And Father, as we turn now to think about how gathering affects us, we ask for your help, Lord. Please, we know that we are desperately in need of you to be at work in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've poured out on us. Thank you that he convicts us. He changes the way that we think. He changes the way that we feel. He changes the things that we value to bring them more in line with the Lord Jesus Christ and to make us more like him. And so we call on you now boldly. Please, would you do that work in us? Help us to put in the effort in terms of concentrating and thinking and being open to challenges. Help us never to get defensive, but always to be listen and to just be really aware of your Spirit convicting us. And may we just follow his lead in our lives now as we study your word together. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I'm guessing that for most of us, we're a bit like Bonnie this year and have spent at least some time already thinking about what's good for us. It's just kind of what you do, isn't it, over summer? The new year starts. You've got this whole new year stretching ahead of you. You know, you're kind of very aware of all the mistakes you may have made in the year before. And so it just seems like a really good time to make major lifestyle changes. All the catalogues are laden with Nutribullets and Fruit Ninjas and exercise gear and all of that kind of health-driven stuff. And you just get the time too when you have a few weeks off, you know, you can kind of reflect on the year that was. And so most of us tend to put at least some thought, whether we actually follow through on it or not, it's quite another issue altogether, but you know, at least we think about some of the changes that we might make to have a healthier, happier new year. Now, personally, that's the sort of stuff that I always find really interesting. I always love reflecting on life and, you know, what needs to change and what can be different. Yeah, so I tend to read about this sort of stuff a bit. And I actually came across Time Magazine's top 10 things that you should do regularly to improve your life. Anyone want to know what they are? Of course you do. Time Magazine's top 10 things that you should do regularly if you want to improve your life. Number one. Get out in nature. I'm going on a bushwalk in a couple of weeks, so there we go. Tick. Number two, exercise. Talk to Bonnie about that if you need to, because she's all over that one. Number three, spend time with friends and family. Very good for you. Number four, this is becoming quite popular at the moment, is expressing gratitude. So, you know, gratitude journaling and things like that, they're becoming quite big at the moment. Number five, meditate. Number six, get enough sleep. And I know all of you that have got little babies at the moment are going, yeah, right, if only it were that simple. Number seven, challenge yourself. Did you know that that's one of the things that can improve your life? You challenge yourself. Number eight, laugh. Number nine, reach out and touch someone. But don't do that in a creepy way, please. And number 10, be optimistic. Turn that frown upside down. if you want to have a better 2016. Now, it's not a bad list. I think that's pretty good. Most people, there's not really anything too surprising in there, is there? I would have thought they're sort of fairly standard things. Your GP will probably tell you most of that stuff if you're having trouble at the moment. But I think that there's another one that Time magazine's missed out on, and that will really improve your 2016. And given the nature of this series, I bet you know where this is heading. You see, I think if you want to have the best year you can possibly have, you want to have the best 2016 you could possibly have, do all that stuff by all means. But I also think you need to show up. I also think you need to show up regularly to church. But you should show up for your own sake. Your own sake. Now, you'll remember, if you've been with us so far over the last two sessions, I've been telling you all of the reasons why you being here on Sunday isn't about you. Yep, that's how we've started this series off. And I've spent all this time telling you why, about your attendance at church, it's actually not about you. So that week one, we saw that your church attendance is primarily about God and His glory. And that was the very first thing that we looked at. And then week two wasn't really about you either. It was actually about everybody else. So that's what we saw last week, was that actually you being here, you should show up for the sake of other people. Actually, your being here is so important to the faith and the encouragement of other Christians. It's not about you, but it's about everyone else. And so up until now, it really hasn't been very much about you at all. And so it may have left you asking, well, has me showing up here on a Sunday got anything to do with me? What about me, you know? Is there anything in it for me at all, or is it purely for God's benefit, and is it purely for other Christians' benefit? Well, what I want to do to finish this series is show you this week that, yeah, actually showing up has a lot to do with you. It is also about you, and it is actually essential when it comes to your spiritual well-being. Absolutely essential. This week is all about you. I want to show you why you being here regularly is good for you. And I'd go so far as to say that this practice of showing up is even more important than any of those things that Time magazine listed. As good as they are, I want to say that you being here is even more important than them. Because you coming here doesn't just affect you in the here and now. It does, but it doesn't just affect you in the here and now. You being here is going to have massive implications for your eternity. Yeah? It's not just about the here and now. All those Time magazine things, they're all just here and now type things. But you being here, you showing up, is directly related to you staying strong as a Christian and persevering to the very end. So I'm just going to dive straight into it. And what I want to do is give you three key reasons, right? Three key reasons why you showing up is just so essential. Why this should be the number one big lifestyle change that you make and commit to in 2016 and make it for your own sake, okay? First of all, showing up encourages you and helps you stand firm. When you show up to church, it will encourage you and help you stand firm. Now, I want you to look again at that passage that we just had read out for us, Hebrews chapter 3. So keep that open in front of you. If you've shut your Bible, open it up again. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Just a tiny, short little reading, but it's very profound stuff in those two verses. So we're going to just pull those apart a little bit more and come to grips with them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. The writer to the Hebrews says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Now, just to take a step back for a second, it's important to remember the context of this letter to the Hebrews. We looked at it a little bit last week, so if you were here then, you'll have heard me say this already. But just to remind you, and for those that perhaps weren't here, this letter was originally written to a whole bunch of Christians who used to be Jews. Now, when I say Jews, I mean Jews spiritually, not talking about the sort of the ethnic the nature of being Jewish, but in terms of their spiritual beliefs, they were Jewish. They held to Judaism in terms of a spiritual system. Okay, these Christians used to be Jewish in that sense, but they've had the gospel preached to them, they've put their faith in Jesus, and now they've become Christians. So that's great. The problem seems to be, and the reason that the letter is written, is that the people around these new Christians seem to be putting a lot of pressure on them to turn back to Judaism, to throw in Jesus, to give up on Christianity and go back to being Jews again. And so what the letter's trying to do is it's trying to give them all of these reasons for why they should stand firm. It's just dripping with reasons. It's full of reasons for why you should stand firm as a Christian, why you should not give up on the faith, why you must continue to trust in Jesus. It's full of tips on how you can do that, how we can help each other do that. And here in chapter 3, we have one of those really key tips. And what you see there in verse 13 is that key to us persevering in the faith is the encouragement of other Christians. Key to us persevering in the faith is the encouragement of other Christians. Now, as modern Western people, we often prefer to at least pretend that that's not the case. In the modern West, we pride ourselves on our self-sufficiency and our independence and our self-determination. They are values we hold very dearly in our culture. And we looked at this a little bit at church camp. For those of you that were there, you'll remember that we talked about this love of control, this desire to be in control, and the way that we'll sacrifice all kinds of things and put ourselves through all kinds of stress just to give us that sense of being in control of ourselves and our lives and having all of that taken care of. We love it. We love to be in control. And we actually despise very often the idea of being dependent on somebody else. In fact, in many ways, in our culture, being dependent on somebody is seen as weakness, seen as a deficiency. And so what that means is when you apply it to your Christianity is that, well, I want my Christianity to be about me and God, like this. But that's it. I don't really want it to have to depend on anything like this, on the other people sitting around me. I want to be self-sufficient. If it's going to work, I'll make it work. Yeah? If I'm struggling, I'll sort it out. Yeah? If it gets tough, I'll handle it. That's the modern Western way of coming at it. We like to think that we don't need anyone else, but what you see here in Hebrews is that that is just not how God has made us to operate, whether you like it or not. Yeah? One of the key ways that he ordains to help you stay strong as a Christian is by using the encouragement of others. Let's just drill into the text a bit more, and I'll try and show you how it gets this idea across. I want you to look at that word but there in verse 13. Often the word but just sort of gets overlooked a little bit, but whenever you're reading the Bible, buts are very important, okay? The word but is very, very important. It's important because it's a contrast word. That's why you use but most of the time. It gives you a contrast. Don't do that, but do that. Yeah, it is a contrast. Don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God, but instead, yeah, in contrast to that, what do? Well, you encourage each other. See how it works? The encouraging each other is the contrast to having a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God. If you don't want to do that instead. Encouragement of others helps to stop our hearts from being sinful and unbelieving. That's what it's trying to get across to you. Or some other words that often get overlooked there in verse 13, the words so that. Yeah, just see if you can find those words so that there in verse 13. Now, what does so that do for us? Well, they're result words. Yes? The words so that show you the result of something. Yeah? Drink water so that you will stay hydrated. Yeah? See how that works? If you want the result of being hydrated, if you want the so that of hydration, Well, you drink water. That's how the sentence works. So let's apply it to the passage. Do you want to make sure that you're not hardened by sin's deceitfulness? Is that the result you're after as a Christian? Is that the so that you're after, that you're looking for? Well, if it is, then you need to do the thing that comes before the so that, which is be encouraged by your Christian brothers and sisters. You need the encouragement of others. Don't just buy in to Western individual. Yeah. Listen carefully. Being a Christian is not something that's meant to be done alone. It's just not. You need other people. It's not an individualistic enterprise. God has not designed you that way. Now, Hebrews actually prescribes a daily dose of this encouragement. Yeah? If you want to not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness and persevere and stay firm, well, the prescription that the letter to the Hebrews gives you is actually a daily dose. Now, I'm guessing that for most of us, we're not getting that. I'm guessing that most of us are already pretty undernourished in this regard. And look, that could really be the topic of a whole other sermon. And by the way, just a quick plug, it's another important reason for discipleship relationships. Another reason we make such a big deal about that at Summer Leaves, because that at least adds in another dose for you. But let's just stick with the reality of where we're at, okay? It's another topic there. For now, I'm guessing that for most of us, we would schedule in at least two times in our week to be encouraged by others. Yeah. If you get more than that, great, as you can see, ideal is daily. But for most of us, I'm guessing we schedule at least twice. A GC meeting of some description, and then being here on Sunday. They'd be the two. Now, with that in mind, here's my massive question to you. Given that most of us are operating well under the daily dose already, can you really afford to ditch one of the two that you have committed to? Yeah, that's what I want you to think about. If you're already under the dose, by quite a lot, I'm guessing, for a lot of us, to what extent can you afford to give up one of the two that you are going to get? Maybe less if you ditch GC as well that week. It's interesting, I don't know if anyone's seen that movie The Martian that's come out recently. Anyone seen that yet? No? Gosh, you've got to go see it. It's an amazing movie. It's great. I'll try not to ruin it too much, but the thing that I don't think will ruin it is that you should know. It's about this guy that gets trapped on Mars, and there's no way that he can kind of get back to Earth. And he's trapped on Mars. He's got a very limited supply of food. Now, it just so happens all these sort of astronaut guys are kind of geniuses, and he knows maths really well. And what he has to do with the limited supply of food, he has to work out what is the bare minimum number of calories that a man like him can have to survive, because he's got to stretch this food as possible. So he does the math and he works out the absolute bare minimum. Like, I'm talking the number that if you go just even one calorie less, you're going to keel over and die, okay? So he does these sums and he works it out, and he's got potatoes. He cuts them up into tiny little bits. And anyway, you should go see the film. It's a great film. But the reality is he just cannot afford to go. Now, I'm guessing for most of us, that's where a lot of us can end up with our faith. You know, we're kind of running on the bare minimum a lot of the time. Can you really afford to drop down one level and actually lose those spiritual calories, those spiritual energy, that spiritual pizzazz that showing up gives you? And the answer is no. And I'm guessing, again, that most of us have probably at some point or other felt the effects of this in our lives. And in fact, it might be that you're sitting here and you're feeling the effects of this right now because you're in the midst of it, okay? When you haven't been to church for ages, you start to find that you struggle. You ever felt that? Yeah, it's like you're starting to starve spiritually. Suddenly your doubts get worse. Slowly sin just feels easier. and easier and easier, and like it's not really a big deal. You suddenly notice that you've stopped growing. You stop moving forward. You start to feel a bit stagnant and like your faith isn't really going anywhere, and God just starts to feel distant and further away, and you start to wonder, well, is he actually really there at all? Suddenly, living as a Christian starts to seem a little bit silly, and it seems to make much more sense to live for money or career or leisure or whatever else everyone around you is chasing after. If you don't meet regularly with other Christians, you're actually in a really dangerous place, because meeting with others is one of God's ordained means for keeping you strong. And if you're actually going to decrease what for most of us is already a low dosage of encouragement, then please don't be surprised if you start to feel spiritually sick. Because a malnourished faith, a faith that's starting to starve, just like a body, gets sick very easily. To push it further, a sick faith can get terminal. Because the more you're away, the harder it can be to get back. You know, you set life up without it, and then suddenly it's such a hassle, it's difficult to go. Oh, everyone's going to want to talk to me about where I've been, and all those things start to pile up, and you get spiritually weaker, and pretty soon you're down to once a month. Soon it's every other month. Not long after, it's a couple of times a year. And before you know it, it's never. I've seen it happen too many times. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it uses the illustration of drifting. It talks about people drifting away, and the Greek word used for drifting there, it's the same as the English word in the sense that we use it to talk about boats. You know, you kind of leave your dinghy on the edge of the beach, you forget to put the anchor in, and it just bit by bit, as the tide kind of washes in and out, and the waves lap, slowly, 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 slowly out it goes to sea. And more often than not, that's how it works. I haven't met many Christians who have had sort of an amazing, sudden, radical conversion to atheism or anything like that. Generally, what happens is just this slow drift, bit by bit by bit. Just gradual, slowly, slowly. As a bit of a side point, it's also why it's a disaster to ditch church when you're struggling. You know, I know this is really counterintuitive, but you know when you're doing it tough and you're finding it very hard as a Christian, and maybe you're plagued with doubts, maybe something horrible has happened to you and the suffering is getting on top of you and you're feeling distant from God. Often when that's the case, you know, the last thing you feel like doing, the last thing you think you need, is to be around everybody on a Sunday morning, and so you stay away. But that's a disaster, because it's times like these when you're feeling weak that you actually need the encouragement of others the most, whether it fits with what you think in terms of our sort of Western individualism or not. We have got to accept the fact that we need the encouragement of others. It's how God's made you. If you want to have a strong, vibrant, passionate, growing faith this year, you need the encouragement of others. First reason why you should show up for your own sake. We'll move a little bit quicker now. Second reason is because showing up helps you listen to God's word. Second really important reason why being here is so important is because it helps you listen to God's word. You know, biblical teaching, it's one of our core values here at Summerlees. We believe that the primary way that God grows his people to be like Jesus is through them engaging with the scriptures and having the Holy Spirit convict them of what they read, hear and learn. That's the primary way that God actually equips us and changes us and grows us to be more like Jesus Christ. It's through us hearing the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, engaging with the Scriptures, and then the Holy Spirit taking what we read and hear and learn and using that to change our hearts. Now, you can see this right through the Bible. If you remember from our Genesis series, we looked at the Word of God there. You look at it in Deuteronomy series that we did last year. Again, the Word of God was such a big deal in chapter 4, wasn't it? It's defining kind of what it meant to follow God there was to live in obedience to His Word. So you could trace this right through the Bible. It's a huge theme. I just want to give you a couple of quick verses that really hammer it home. Matthew 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I love that verse. Bit of a no-brainer. 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. Okay, thanks for that. We're going to move on. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And what does Jesus say? Well, he answers them, "It is written," and he quotes Deuteronomy, in fact, "man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." What a striking thing to say. Yes, food's important if you want to live, but there's something even more important than food, and that is every word that comes from the mouth of God. Striking thing to say about the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, classic memory verse material, this one. Classic. Okay, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be thoroughly, fully, totally equipped to live as a Christian? Well, you need the Scriptures. That's what that verse is saying. The God-breathed Scriptures will do that for you. Or one more, rather confronting words, actually, from John chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." You see, those who love Jesus, those who embrace Jesus as the King of their lives, they listen to and they obey his teaching. In fact, you can't really love Jesus and not want to obey his teaching. That's what that verse is trying to get across. And where do you find Jesus' teaching? Where you find it in the Scriptures. The Bible is just foundational to our Christian lives. And this brings us to the next reason for why these gatherings are so important. Because I suspect, again, that for most of us, these gatherings are the most significant time in our weeks where we engage with that word. Isn't that true? Isn't this probably the most time and effort and energy that you give over to studying the Scripture in your week? Indeed, as a church, we deliberately set it up like this. We're conscious of all this, and that's why we set up our services the way we do. We give this massive chunk of time over to the preaching, because we're preaching the Scriptures. What's more, as a community, now, we jointly spend tens of thousands of dollars every year to support someone, me, who's been trained to degree level in teaching the Bible, to spend much of his working week thinking, planning, praying, and preparing to teach you the Word at these gatherings. It's a phenomenal commitment when you think about it, isn't it? And I'm really glad we do that. I'm really glad more than just because I get paid for it, by the way. It's not just because it gives me a job that I'm glad. I'd be just as glad if we got someone else. I'd be gladder if we got someone that was even better at it than I am. And why would I be really glad that we're investing so much effort and energy and money and everything into it? Well, because God's word is worth it. That's why I'd be glad. It's that important that it is worth paying someone to give over most of their time to put together teaching like this and to give over a massive chunk of our Sunday meeting for it. It's worth having a big gathering over. It's worth combining our resources to ensure we get good teaching about it. But here's the thing, none of it will do you the slightest bit of good if you're not here. It's exactly like the stuff that we were talking about at the beginning, you know, with the New Year's resolution time of year, and one of the industries that really rubs its hands in delight at the beginning of every year is, of course, the gym industry, isn't it? Everyone's feeling a little bit guilty because they ate too much over Christmas, and people are thinking, all right, I'm going to clean up my act and get sorted out this year, time to get in shape. Now, just imagine for a moment that Bonnie makes this decision. You kind of opened yourself up to this, didn't you? And so she finds the very best gym in all of Hobart with the most amazing, what are the people called? Personal trainers, the most amazing personal trainer. Arnold Schwarzenegger's there to train her, yeah? And there's a nutritionist on site at all times and a masseuse. And all kinds of things. And so Bonnie signs up. She pays her monthly fees, but she never goes. Now, unfortunately, she's too busy going for coffee. Now, unfortunately, oh, that it wasn't the case, but really, for a gym to do you any good at all, you've got to actually be there. It's not going to do you any good if you don't go. And church is exactly the same. If you want to reap the benefits from church, as Bonnie pointed out in that kids' talk, you have got to be here. You really need to show up to reap the benefits when it comes to studying and understanding God's word. If you're here regularly, you will get way more out of the sermon series. Because so often each one just builds on the last one. I mean, think about our Romans series last year. I mean, good luck understanding just one of those on their own because it's an unfolding argument. And look, I might do my best to try and briefly tell you what happened last week, but if you weren't here to hear all the details and see how it worked, it's like trying to jump into a really complex, detailed TV series kind of halfway through. You just won't get as much out of it. Or, I mean, even think of this little series that we're doing now. I mean, if you just showed up this week, you'd think being at church is all about you, wouldn't you? Or if you missed this week, you might think it's got nothing to do with you. They build it, you see, they build on each other. Yeah. It's so important for us to be here if we're going to get the most out of our series. But hearing the Bible taught well regularly will also help you as you study the scriptures throughout the rest of your week. Yeah. Because you'll learn how to read books of the Bible. You'll learn how the Bible fits together. You'll learn how to apply it and look for implications and see how it works out in the life of someone living thousands of years later. But you'll only get all of that if you show up. Now, we've got to show up because showing up helps us listen and hear and understand God's word. Let me give you one more. Final reason to show up for you is that showing up helps you feel connected. Being lonely and disconnected is actually really bad for us as human beings. I read a really interesting paper a few months back. It was actually written for the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute, which was sort of interesting in and of itself because it was sort of linking housing, loneliness and health and kind of looking at all the ways those things intersect. But the thing that I found most interesting was this one chapter in this paper that was all about just how bad it is for people to be disconnected and lonely. I was quite struck by it. It said that loneliness is directly associated with Alzheimer's disease, obesity, increased vascular resistance, elevated blood pressure, increased hypothalamic pituitary adrenocortical activity. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? I don't know what that means, but maybe you could ask someone. Sleep disorders, diminished immunity, reduction in independent living, alcoholism, depression, suicidal ideation and behaviour, and mortality in older adults. And this list just went on and on and on and on and on. I couldn't believe all the things that were linked to just being disconnected, socially isolated and lonely. It was horrendous. Now, of course, church, you can see why God gives humanity church, can't you? Because church can go so far as being an excellent remedy to this. But once again, it can only do that for you if you show up. People can chase you and call you and do their best to invite you to stuff, but at the end of the day, the simple truth of the matter is that if you're not here regularly, you are just going to start feeling disconnected. You just will. I mean, we work hard at communicating at Summer Leaves. We use all kinds of different channels to do that, but it doesn't matter how well we do with emails or Facebook updates or whatever. You're just going to start to feel as though you're not totally on top of what's going on. You'll feel as though you don't know what's happening with other Summer Leaves people because you just don't see them that much. And they won't know what's going on with you. You'll miss out on the feeling that we get when we all get together, that, you know, we're part of something bigger and that we're all in this together and that we've got each other's backs. You'll start to feel on the outer. And it won't be because people are excluding you. It'll be because you're excluding yourself. Church is really one of those things that the more you put in, the more you get out. It is just one of those things. The more present you are, the more involved you are, the more you will reap the benefits and the more connected and engaged you will feel. It's interesting, I've been in a number of different types of ministries now across multiple denominations, states of Australia and even countries. And it's been a really interesting thing to observe that in all of these ministries, I've encountered Christians who tell me that they're lonely and disconnected from their church. And the interesting thing that I just so often find is that when I ask them, well, are they regularly prioritising church meetings? Are they connected to and engaged and showing up to small group gatherings? Are they making the most of all the things that the church puts on? The answer often is, it's no. And so I'm kind of left like, are you seeing a link here at all? To go back to the gym analogy, it's like you're signing up to the amazing gym, but you never go and then you complain that you're not getting any stronger or fitter. I mean, there's no mystery there. It's not a sort of complicated equation. It's not a complicated problem. If you want the gym to do you physical good, you've got to go there. And if you want to feel connected with the church community, well, you've got to show up. You just do. But what about those of you who don't rely on church for social inclusion? Because I know a lot of people here have got big family networks that live close by, tight friendship circles, lots of friends that you maybe went to school with or whatever. So being lonely isn't a major risk for you yet. May well be down the line, but not yet. Well, if you're in that category, then I still want to say that you being connected to church is really important. Because being connected here, and for your own sake, well, it's obviously important for others, but for you, it's still really important for your own sake. Because being connected here, your level of connectedness with other Summer Leaves people is going to directly affect the quality of encouragement you receive when you come. The other thing we've got to understand, the more connected you are with others, and they are with you, the more you will share with people, won't you? And the more that you share with people, the more people will get to know you. And the more people know you, the better equipped they will be to encourage and support you. See, maybe you sat there in point one about church being an encouragement. You said to yourself, well, actually, when I come, I don't feel very encouraged at all. I don't find church encouraging. What are you talking about? Yeah. Well, I guess what I'd want to ask you is, A, do you come regularly? And B, when you come, do you work at connecting with people? Because the less you come and the less connected you are, the less you're going to get out of it. It's just the way it works. There is a direct correlation between your level of connectedness and the level of encouragement you will receive by being here. We need to show up because showing up helps us feel connected. That really concludes the content of this showing up series. We've seen that we need to show up for God's sake. We've seen that we need to show up for others' sake. And we've just seen how important it is that we show up for our own sake. So that's the content. I've laid that out for you. Now, it's really over to you. It's really over to you. I want to hand this over to you. And what I want to ask you right now is, how are you going to respond to this? We've spent 3 weeks on it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this? For some of you, I hope you're really encouraged. If you're someone that really prioritises these gatherings and has been consistently trusting God with your time and energy to be here, I really hope this series has seriously encouraged you to keep going with that, because you're doing the right thing. I hope you can see that. The sacrifice is worth it. Yeah. And what's more, I know for some of the people here, and you know who you are, getting here on a Sunday, just being here, just showing up, is a massive sacrifice for you. I'm aware of that. I know that some of you are affected by very serious physical health issues. You deal with pain and being unwell, and you have to do battle every Sunday morning just to get out of bed, get out of the house, and put your butt on one of these uncomfortable plastic chairs. I know that we've got other people in this congregation that have to do battle with a black dog every Sunday and who have to fight off severe psychological issues to get here. Everything in their brain's telling them that it's going to be a disaster, it's the most harmful thing, stay the hell away, and they've got to fight that off just to show up. And I know that there are still others who have very difficult and often very sensitive family situations, where perhaps someone in the family isn't a Christian or doesn't like them being involved or makes that hard. And if that's you, then I really hope that this series has reinforced that that weekly battle that you fight is just so unbelievably worth it. You're doing the right thing. I know it's really, really hard, but please keep fighting. Keep trusting God with it. Keep going. It is worth it. It is worth it. But then maybe for others, you don't come regularly. Yeah. Maybe at the end of the day, when all's said and done, these meetings are just simply way, way down on your priority list. And maybe your attendance at church is just always subject to a better offer. Now, if that's you, then I hope this series has shown you that you desperately need to change that, and you need to change it now. And so I want to encourage you right here and right now, by the strength and conviction that the Holy Spirit is giving you, even as we speak, to make the decision, make the commitment, make that change, decide, make the call, and make 2016 the year that you turn this around. Make these meetings a priority. And don't do it because I'm telling you to. Don't do it because you're worried I'm going to kind of keep a roll or something and, oh dear, they didn't show up again or anything. I'm not interested in any of that. I don't want you to do it just for me in that sense. Do it for God's sake, because you want him to be glorified more and more in the heavenly realms. Do it for the sake of this church, for the person sitting next to you, because you want this church to be strong and you want it to grow and you want it to reach the lost for Jesus. And as we've seen this morning, please do it for your own sake. Do something for yourself. because it's the best lifestyle change you could make this year. Yeah. You pray that with me? Let's pray together. Lord, sin means that we don't trust you. We spent a whole weekend looking at that not long ago. And one of the areas that we can really not trust you is when it comes to what we do on a Sunday morning. We can buy into the lie that it's not important. We can buy into the lie that almost anything else is more important and will make us happier and will be better for us. But what we've seen today is that that is a lie. It's not true. Right now, we are in the best place that we can be. And Father, we ask that you would help us to remember that. We know that it's one thing to be convicted here on a Sunday morning after a sermon, but we know that we're all going to go out into weeks where there are going to be so many demands made on us. Our jobs, other family members, friendship, maybe hobbies or things that we kind of think that we have to have right then on that time on a Sunday morning to make us happy and satisfied and fulfilled. And Lord, we ask that you just break through all of that and help us just to get back to the clarity of how important church is and how wonderful it is and all the amazing things that it does for us. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us now by the power of your Spirit working in us to believe that and to trust you with that. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.